Right, you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. As we continue our study here in this book of pithy maxims, Solomon speaking to his children. Of course, it's the Word of God, and indeed it's to be and is a blessing to us. Great instruction that we can receive here from the Word of God. And just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply. It does apply. A lot of good information here and instruction about living life. God's thinking. God's heart, if you will, about us living life. And so we've not been here for a couple weeks, and so let's just read through the front end of this chapter, and then we'll get down and pick it up where we left off last time. Verse number 1 of Proverbs 20, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." It will deceive. It must be managed well. I believe the Scripture bears out that alcoholic beverages in and of themselves are not inherently evil. I'm glad that we have those things. Fermentation, a natural process. Maybe there might be argument about brewing, okay? That's where beers and such as that come from. Maybe there'd be an argument there. Maybe there would be an argument as far as those things distilled. But in the old days, there were things that were distilled that were very good that helped with sore throats and other ailments and such as that. And so nothing of itself is inherently evil. I'm not saying that, you know, don't say that Brother Jim said, well, I can go out and just go get me something to drink and have at it and that. And I didn't say that. But we need to understand what the right way of the Scripture and the Scripture, the condemnation in the Scripture is drunkenness or taking drugs, okay? Taking drugs falls in this same category. Taking drugs that to our detriment and to a bad way. I'm glad that there are is anesthesia and pain reliever. I'm glad that there's things when we get kind of... I had to go in a MRI, but it was just like from my waist down. and so I didn't get nervous. Sometimes folks have got to go in those machines, and something to help you to be able to do that is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. So all those things in their right place. The fear of the king, verse 2, is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. The authority is there, and they're there by the hand of the Lord and directive of the Lord, and we need to respect that and honor that. Verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling and not digging in and being nosy about things that don't belong to us, but leaving off contention, leaving off strife is an honor to us. If there's a stand that needs to be made, we may need to make it. If there's a word, the good word that needs to be said, we need to say it. But after that, we need to let it be. If there's no benefit or blessing that can come from further pursuit of it. Verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold when the end of winter is going into spring. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Needs to be some forward thinking about what's coming up and taking opportunity at hand to prepare and to do and such as that. So many ways that can be applied. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Find somebody that's got counsel. They've got it down there in their heart. A man of understanding will find a way to draw it out. It'll be a blessing and a help. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Yeah, who's better than me after all, right? Isn't that what we say? My idea is my idea. Therefore, it's got to be a good idea, right? But it's that way. But a faithful man who can find, one that is just steady and even the same, never reminding others about what they do or requiring praise, but serving the Lord in meekness and verity, a blessed thing. Who can find, but a faithful man who can find? Verse 7, the just man walketh as in his integrity, his innocence, and there is indeed a blessing for children, that his children are blessed after him. Verse 8, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes, especially a righteous, a wise, a truthful, upright king does so. His very look can shake out those things that are up to mischief. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say so? We've been saved by the Lord, been made clean and pure by Him. We've been washed in His blood. We have no hope that we can do anything to cleanse ourselves. It's the Lord that has cleansed us. Verse 10, divers weights and divers measures, right? A light one, a heavy one, a long one, a short one. Both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. He's watching. Doesn't matter who it is. Now, young people, you cheat your friend, God knows that. Older people, middle-aged people, everybody in between, God knows when we're cheating folks. And we don't need to do that. We need to realize that God hates those things. Even a child, verse 11, is known by his doings, his good or bad acts, whether his work be true, whether it be right. Even a child is known that way. It's never too early to work on our children's reputation by teaching them and directing them into a righteous way and attitude. We need to do that, and it's that way of thinking about the Focus on Singles conference. I'm a pinch hitter, okay? I might need to preach if one of the brethren are not able to be there, and been thinking about the young folks in the Scripture, and that are there in the Scripture. We're given several accounts about young people in the Scripture that are faithful to the Lord, and their testimony has endured for hundreds, thousands of years, being counted in the Scripture. And so, young person, pardon me, be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful and obedient to Him. Don't be tempted. Don't buy into that bill of goods to sow those wild oats. You will have to reap them. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. He's an expert ophthalmologist, right? The Lord is. He's an expert a hearing doctor. He's created it, matter of fact, right? All that the Lord has done, all of that, He's done that. People dedicate their lives to it and still don't know the wonder of it. But God, our Lord, has made both of them, and He's an expert at it. Love not sleep, verse 13, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Okay, so we need a certain amount of sleep, need a certain amount of rest. And I've needed more this weekend from this past week. Brother Doug and I were talking, I think. I'll drag him into it. We enjoyed our afternoon naps at camp. they were good. Kind of missing them this week. Although I must confess, after Brother Cecil got on the road, I slipped off and got one myself. Verse number 14, forgive me for that. Verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. This happens all the time at the flea market this weekend. This past weekend, every flea market said, no, it ain't worth that, it ain't worth that. And they get over there to the friend, to the neighbor, to their friend, and they say, look there. And said, look there, I only gave $5 for that. It's, oh, you did good, his wife would say, as she rolls her eyes. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, verse 15, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. The lips of knowledge will help tell and help how to gain those. Wealth in and of itself maybe doesn't have a future, but instruction and knowledge from the Lord does. Verse 16, we'll pick it up here. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. This man, this one that's a surety for a stranger, is asking again for trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. And don't co-sign, okay? Don't go on the record as backing up somebody. And we've talked about this before, but it's necessary for it to be known. Don't back somebody up. But if you do, you better pray for them, be near to them, be close to them, and make sure that they're feeling good, feeling healthy, and going to keep their word. Because they can drag you off into a ditch. They can drag us off into a ditch just like that. He said, I think that this verse here, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, said, if he's willing to do that, go ahead and take his garment from him. Because he doesn't have any sense, doesn't care about the jeopardy he's placed himself in. And then it goes on here, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand about this, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. That would be, I believe, an adulteress, a fornicative, a harlot kind of thing. This man, he's in a sense a fool. He's got no sense about him. He's an easy mark. Okay, I think is what's being said. Remember what it says in Proverbs 11:15: "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure." Verse number 1 of Proverbs 6: "My son," young folks, get this, all of us get this. "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." As soon as he's got enough equity in whatever you helped him buy, and get out from under that and get away from that, because it is danger, danger, danger. Verse 17, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man." The children had a song along this verse years ago that they sang. I meant to ask Clarissa about it. They probably remember it. "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." That's an interesting verse. Can you imagine? I had a few times when I crashed on my bike or fell down and playing football and my face mask raked on the ground and I felt like my mouth was full of gravel. But can you imagine your mouth? Go out here where we've got chat on the place. Out back here, there's some chat. And get you a big old handful of that and fill your mouth up with gravel. That is terrible. The bread of deceit, the end of the bread of deceit, is just that way. Deception. It will not be that which a person can be content with. And for sure at the very end, huh? When it's brought into account by the Lord. Right? I mean, at the greatest extent, it will be brought into account by the Lord, and that will be severe. It will be. This word deceit is talking about a sham or deception. It's talking about falsehood, lying, doing a thing and pursuing a thing wrong. We're reminded of Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 16. "Enter not into the path of the wicked. They deceive. They work deception. They glory and revel in it. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn away from it. Don't even go over there and get close to it and look at it. Don't even look down the street where they're at. Don't even do that. Don't even allow yourself to be tempted. Let us not be tempted by it. And pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall." They get a big charge out of suckering somebody. Carpetbaggers of days gone by. That was the life that they lived, wasn't it? And they came and they would deceive people and take things away from folks. Oh, it makes my blood boil to hear about those that would deceive the elderly. Ooh! could say some bad things that ought to happen to people like that. That's no good, is it? It's terrible. It's wicked before the Lord. What heart would do that to somebody that is weak and elderly and their senior, someone that they should be honoring and respecting, but then take advantage of them? Ooh, 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 ooh. And think about it and get hot. Sister Mildred, Sister Maud. That was a flashback. There was a Sister Mildred in Forestell at Independence. Sister Maud. Praise the Lord, he protected her. But those suckers came in there and took advantage of that lady. And praise the Lord, she wasn't hurt. Anyway, we can get off into all kinds of subjects about that, can't we? Different things to talk about. Get her blood up. Verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." Do you make war? Well, we don't make war. Okay? We don't need to be warring. We don't need to be wrathful, and we may get angry, like I did a little bit there. We need to handle that right. We don't make war. Maybe there would be something though that would be a project at work. Maybe it's a project for your family. Maybe it's something that you're engaging in that's a big deal in life. We need good counsel. Kings, leaders, they make war. Maybe we might be in or have been in a position where we would take up this literally and about making war. But if there is a big thing, every purpose is established by counsel. That's really where the heart of it is, isn't it? Someone that gets into something, you and I, as we say, bite off more than we can chew, it'll be a detriment to us, won't it? Every purpose is established by counsel. We need to count the cost of things that we engage in, don't we? Luke 14. Take a look over here. Luke 14. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt with this. And in Luke chapter 14, let's get over there, and I want to get the context of that too. In Luke chapter 14, we're going to pick it up at around verse number... He's healed a man here in this chapter. Those have chosen the chief rooms at the marriage feasts and stuff like that. There around verse number 7, and then he talks here to the man that called the feast that the Lord went to, or had been close to, and then. Then there's that one in verse 15 that talks about those that will be blessed to eat the bread in the kingdom of God, and then those that put off the Lord and didn't hear the call of the Lord. Let's pick it up in verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So these folks are following along. The Lord has left the venue, the previous venue. He's moving on to the next, and they're following along with him. He turned, so he's walking along, and then he turns around, and now it's immediate audience. Okay? That's interesting, isn't it? And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, okay, this is our connection back to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, for which of you intending to build a tower, maybe that's that project at home, maybe that's that project at work, maybe that's that project or something we want to engage in and take on in school, and sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Say, don't you see that? We see that. We go drive out through the countryside. I notice these. Got poles and purlins up for a pole barn, but it doesn't have a roof or a metal on it. And who knows what the situation is. Maybe there was some great calamity that came about. They started to build. But that investment is gone, and then they never got finished to be able to use what they started. And so he says, count the cost. Isn't it so that we count the cost with things of this life? Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Maybe the odds are lopsided and said, do we have strategy or ability yet to go ahead and contend with this one that's coming? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Maybe that's the option that he has, is just to not engage in the battle, but find out why that one is coming against him and making those things happen in those realms. So likewise, verse 33, now it comes back to us, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Counting the cost. There's two points of instruction contained in this passage that we read in Luke. Count the cost before you engage to do something, like we saw in Proverbs. Every purpose is established by counsel. And then, have you counted the cost of following Christ? We need to. We live in a generation that may be called be called upon to endure things for the sake of the Lord like it hasn't been for hundreds of years in our country on this soil. We need to count the cost. Are we a fair weather child of God? May God help us. I'm not saying that I'm the example. I say the Lord Jesus Christ is the example, but we need to count the cost. We need to lay things in order. Who's first in our lives? Ourself or the Lord? It's easy for me to come here and put me first, but the Lord needs to be first, and we need to count the cost. Have you and I counted the cost of following the Lord? Are we indeed have been convicted and saved and persuaded by Him? Is He our all in all? Remember how it was when Peter and the Lord's indication to him that Satan desired to sift him? What would happen to you and me? May God help us. And that's what we have. We have that to resort to. We have the Lord to go to help us when we would see that. Lord, help me to stand. Lord, help me to be dedicated to You. Lord, give me utterance of Your Word. Give me comfort and strength and help in Your Word, that when this might come along, I might be able to honor and glorify You. Hating father and mother, children, brethren, sisters, wife. And then the Lord's not talking about us hating them. It's not that we are to hate those that are near to us, but we are to have things in their right order. Our love for the Lord, my love for the Lord, should pale in comparison. I haven't said that right. My love for the Lord should exceed my love for my wife. And I love my wife dearly. I love my children dearly. I love you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, dearly. But my love for the Lord should be more. That should pale in comparison to our love for the Lord. The Lord said as much. Peter, and the Lord's indication to him that Satan desired to sift him. Peter was challenged in that, wasn't he? To taking him to the point of counting the cost. That conversion that the Lord promised him when you're converted. I think that's what it's all about. Peter was already saved. He was saved. But Peter had to be brought to the point to, well, what is it? Is it this life? Is it the people of this life? And that, is that going to be what he's going to hold to? The things of this life? But Peter enjoyed fishing. He loved fishing. Is it going to be that, or is it going to be the Lord? Is it going to be those things, or is it going to be the Lord? Peter was brought to that, and the Lord worked on him. The Lord said He prayed for him, and we can pray to the Lord to ask Him for help. We're not able necessarily to count the cost when we're first saved. Okay, I believe that's manifested in the Scripture. Maybe to some extent some are. Folks, when they're saved, at the onset, they face immediately being rejected by their family. I'm talking about rejection from the standpoint of that person that has said that they've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. When they declare that to their family, to their family, they are dead. Some people face that. I didn't face that. Maybe some in our church have. But generally, we're not able to count the cost when first saved, but I believe that we do come to a point in our spiritual born-again life that we are brought to and we are required to count the cost, like Peter was. In John chapter 6, many disciples walked no more with the Lord Jesus Christ because of His hard saying that they could not receive. Is there a hard saying that you and I are troubled with, causes doubt in us? A hard saying that we can't receive out of the Word of God? May the Lord help us, that we be faithful to Him. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Verse 19 of Proverbs 20. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. A talebearer goes about telling things he shouldn't be telling. Wanting to stir up. Why is it that we tell what we know that another doesn't know? Do they really need to know? Do we seek a good end? That's the difference between being a talebearer and not. Do we just want to one up one another on the news? Okay, you tell a story and it's this long. Say, well, I've got one. It's this long. All right, or are we wanting to help? Do we tell those the things that we know? Do we have discretion and things that we shouldn't tell at all? Not tell it. A talebearer revealeth secrets, and we don't need to do that. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Some people will flatter folks just to get information. We don't need to be that way. We can be tempted to be that way. Hey, brother, how you doing? Good to see you, blah, blah, blah. I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? What was my motive behind that? Would I have been as friendly and as kind with them had I not wanted to know the things, you know what I'm saying? May the Lord help us with our motive, with our heart. Woe unto you, the Scripture says, when all shall speak well of you, the one that flattereth with the lips. For so did their fathers to the false prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Watch those that are flattering. We do need to encourage one another. We do. We do need to express our love one to another. We do. But may God help us that our motive be right and we not be found a talebearer. Verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Wow. Wow, that's potent, isn't it? That is severe. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Wow. We live in a day that's the case, isn't it? Not honoring father or mother. We live in a day where we're a couple generations down the road where father and mother have maybe even sold out their lives, and there's very little there to be honored by their children. I mean, it's that way. If you understand what I'm saying, we've got a degenerating society that has affected a couple generations, and now we've got there are those that are children and grandchildren of those that are just debauched, and there's very little there to honor. It's a self-consuming cycle, isn't it? It just eats up itself in time. It's just terrible. In Proverbs chapter 30, let's take a look over here quickly and take a look over here. Or take a look at these passages. In Proverbs 30, Agur speaking here, not Solomon, but we understand it to be Agur. And he says here, I've always found this interesting, that this is interjected here. Verse 11 of Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. He says they exist. Are we that generation? Do you belong to that sort, to that generation? Verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation that's that way. So everything's okay with me. The truth is they're bad off. There is a generation, verse number 13, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Wow, it's descriptive of the day, isn't it? And Agur knew that. He had seen that in his day. So there is a generation that's that way. Wow, they know what's right. They're going to do their own thing. They're not going to honor their parents, be obedient to their parents, and honor their parents. And granted, when one would leave the home of their parents and establish their own home, they don't need to be linked back to the home from which they came in the standpoint of it being run by another. They are their own home. But they are to honor their parents. And they are to at least listen to them. There is a generation, verse 14, listen to this, whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. You know, it's told that in the New Testament Scriptures that in the last days, men are going to be fierce. And we've got that today, don't we? Fierceness. Fierceness. among the people. May the Lord help us. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. This is the moral law of God. Well, Brother Jim, you don't understand about my mom and dad. I understand that there can be situations such that a father wouldn't be one that would be listened to, or a mother wouldn't be listened to because of their sinful way. But to any extent that they can be honored, they need to be honored by their parents. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, because He's the one that's done it. That thy days may be prolonged, and that they may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. That's a moral command and directive of the Lord to all mankind. May God help in that. Verse 21 of Proverbs 20. An inheritance may be gotten hastily, or anxiously, or speedily at the beginning. Maybe one that would be a deceiver would gain that inheritance in a deceptive way, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Whatever comes to us inheritance-wise, we need to just let it come to us. And I have known of folks that just waited. Oh, what a terrible thing that they just waited nigh and long to the death of their loved one so they could gain the inheritance. I think this speaks to that. May the Lord help in that. And may our hearts be right. If we're to get something, may we look to the Lord in it. Verse 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will take care of those things. The Lord will deal with anybody that does us wrong. We need to stand for what the truth is and reply in a right, good way. We need to do that. But we don't need to seek vengeance of ourselves. Verse Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That's that anger that is turned into action. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. May we rest in Him. We've got that time component. Well, the colder that thing gets, the Lord just can't avenge me well enough. You know what I'm saying? Because vengeance is best if you mete out vengeance immediately, right? Isn't that the way it is? If you're quick on vengeance, it's sweeter and it's better and it's more meat, right? And so time goes on, we look at that and say, well, a month, a year, 3 years, 5 years. No, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. Let the Lord account the vengeance part. And you know what? It will be right. Look over here in Luke 18 and we'll close. We'll close with this thought. Because, again, we live in a generation and a day that we may need, and we need the instruction of this passage, but we may end up living it. Look here in Luke chapter 18. Verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Be praying to the Lord. We've got needs and we abound with needs. Bring them to the Lord. We've got care and heartache and difficulty. Take them to the Lord. Go to the Lord with it. Ask Him about it. Men, we've got plenty to pray about. There's not a dearth of things to pray about, is there? We've got plenty to pray about. Salvation of souls, helping of those that are weak, sensitivity to the leadership of the Lord, and how we might be used of Him to minister and to help others. I mean, there's plenty that we can seek the Lord's face and pray to Him about. That's what that means, seeking the Lord's face. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What would you have me to do? That when we say that, seeking the Lord's face, that we would see clearly what it is the Lord would have us to do. And the Lord said here in verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care about the Lord, and he didn't give a lick in particular about any person. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. She did not avenge herself, but she went to the one that could rightly do what was appropriate to do for her case. the judge. That's the reason that he was there. And she went to him. And he would not for a while. So she came more than once, maybe. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, I don't care what God says is right or wrong or otherwise, or I don't care what men think of me or this woman. Yea, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So evidently there was a situation there, a situation at hand where she came back. Avenge me, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And the Lord said, this man said, this judge said, to keep her from aggravating me, I'm going to avenge her so she won't be an aggravation to me. What did the Lord say about that? And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? See, there's that long time component that we're worried about, or at least I'm worried about, have been sometimes. There's that long time, but won't the Lord avenge his own? He will. He will avenge his own. And it says here, his elect are crying day and night unto him. Over and over and over and over. We've prayed for things, I trust. You and I have had things that we prayed for years, maybe even for decades, that have not been answered. We give up? Don't need to give up. But go to the Lord, go to the Lord, go to the Lord. If it's this way with the unjust judge, how will it be with the Lord? And hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Speedily. Because see, while we're caught here in time, it may seem like a long time. But when we are blessed by the Lord to step into the bigger picture, the big picture that God sees in eternity, what's it say about the sufferings of this life? They'll just be like a moment, right? They'll just be a short thing. And the Lord will avenge his people. He will avenge his elect. He will avenge his children. And we need to pray to him for what our need is. Somebody does us wrong, we just need to take them to the Lord. Amen. Take them to the Lord. Forgive them. Mm-hmm. Ask the Lord to help them, to turn to a right thing. I believe that that's appropriate to do. Give them in our heart. Ask the Lord to bless them with good things. And if the Lord does, rejoice in it. The Lord blesses them with repentance, rejoice in it. But if the Lord does something else, then let that leave that in the hands of the Lord. Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, will cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. And even though this is the case, the Lord's very clear about this is the case. This is the way it works. This is the way it is. The Lord saying down, said, mankind might think differently, but this is the way it works. Child of God might think differently, but this is the way it works. The Lord's saying, this is it. And so that being the case, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's where you and I come into to it specifically in this generation, in this time. Will the Lord find us faithful? May God help us that we would be faithful. May the Lord help us that I would be faithful to Him. And when we're weak, to learn and to know that that's when the Lord's strength is manifested. When we don't have strength, that we go to the Lord. When we have strength, we go to the Lord. When we don't have strength, we go to the Lord. When we're confounded, when we're or just troubled or weighted down, we go to the Lord and rest in Him, knowing that He is able to deliver and help us. Say not thou, verse 22 of Proverbs 20, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. What's it say? And he shall save thee. But we'll close here for tonight. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. He is a faithful Savior. What He says, you can believe. You can trust Him. Because what He says is true. The Lord just said, we saw that there in Luke, how the Lord says, this is the way that it is. And with it being this way, will it be that there will be those found faithful when the Lord comes, when the Son of Man cometh? Will He find faith on the earth? Faith is the only way to please God. It's the only way that you as a sinner can come to the Lord, is by faith. Not like Cain. Cain said, I've done pretty good here, and I've done pretty good there. And God ought to receive that. And God does not receive that. God receives His way. He receives sinners on His terms, by His Savior. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul. It's the only way that your soul can be saved. We point you to Him. If we can help, I want to help you. I help you all that I can. Point you and show you in the Scriptures about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, I beg of you. While time is at hand and life is at hand, you go to the Lord with these things. You need Him. May we as His people, may we hear the instruction of the Lord. May we be blessed by it. A loving God that has told us the truth about living life. Our God has not left us here to guess, has He? But He's given us good instruction. May we hear Him and obey Him in it.